You have your Bibles today, turn with me to the book of Luke, 17th chapter. Luke chapter 17. I want to read verses 26 through 30 in your hearing today. Wonderful, wonderful worship service. I believe more than any other time in our lifetime, we need to be more ready and prepared to hear the trumpet sound than ever before. Amen. This thing is shaping up quickly. Church, it's not a time of gloom and despair and agony on me, although we are going through things. But as the song says, as Chris mentioned, God's still on the throne. And He has a place prepared for us, a place of safety, a place of perfection, a place of protection. And I'm glad to know that Jesus Christ is still on the throne in 2022, aren't you?
Amen.
Luke chapter 17, in verse 26. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's Word. I want to get real, real practical and real with you today. And so please bear with me, preach with me for just a little bit this morning as we open up the Word of God. Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also be in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. The floods came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they brought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the days when the Son of Man is revealed. Father God in heaven, let revelation come to our hearts, our lives, and our mind, and let us be changed in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I want you to notice in this passage of Scripture two specific things as we get into the Word of God. The Bible says that when Noah entered into the ark, and we know that God shut the door, then the floods came. Said, on the day that Lot left Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. I want you to understand and know. He said, so it was, so as it was in the days of Noah and Lot, so it will be when the Son of Man comes, when He is revealed for the rapture of the church. I want you to know that when the rapture of the church takes place, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, hell, fire, and brimstone will be mild compared to the hell that's going to be turned loose on this earth when the rapture takes place.
Amen.
Have you ever thought... Pause for just a moment as you read that scripture, and I know you have. What was it really like in the time of Noah when he was building the ark? And how might it really compare to the day in which we are living right now? Evidently, back then, though they thought they were living just normal lives, going about everyday living just before the flood. Obviously, they was totally oblivious to the dangers that lay ahead of them. But the Bible says that Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation, and that he walked with God. That's in Genesis 6 and 9. When God brought the flood upon the whole earth to destroy man, only Noah and his family was spared. But in 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 4, it says, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah and eight persons, a preacher of righteousness, as he brought, bringing in the flood upon the world, upon the ungodly. This is a good place to mention this right here, but I'll mention again later on in my message, I'm sure. But you have to stop and think and realize of the chaos and the sin. The Bible says it was that men's hearts was on evil continually. And you have to realize that, as Peter mentions, that Noah was a righteous man. He was a preacher of righteousness. And there was somewhere between 75 and 120 years that it took Noah in that span to build the ark, get the material together, whatever it was. But somewhere between 75 and 120 years, as you go through the Bible, the best I can tell and understand. And all of that time, and all of that preaching, all the nails that he drove, and all the spikes that he drove, and all the things that he done, getting the material ready, and preaching the gospel in between each one, Brother Steve, there was not one righteous person accepted Jesus Christ. There was not one convert that was brought to the ark. I think that needs to, that's a lot that has to be said in this hour that we're living in. A lot that is to be said. Amen. What makes us think that we're going to escape God's judgment? Listen, God's judgment is just as imminent as His blessings are upon His people. Amen. None of us has been summoned. The Bible says that Noah was a just man, a righteous man. Hello? And God told him to build an ark. I don't recall, or no one's told me yet, that God has spoke to them to build an ark. Or perhaps what is more relevant, a fireproof suit. Come on. Amen. Because in Noah's day, there was widespread violence and chaos. Listen, as it was in the days of Noah, men's hearts was on evil continually. Listen, by the examples we see on the news every day and around our world, it's hard not to imagine how evil people was back then. The prelude of all of this started not long after God placed humans on the earth. Are you listening to me today? I told you I want to get real. I want to be relevant to you right now. Not long after God placed humans on the earth, His creation refused to follow the good and beneficial instructions that God gave them. They would have been led into a stable, happy life. Instead, they headed quickly towards self-destruction. Adam and Eve set an example of rejecting God's instructions. And as a result, humanity has become more hostile and corrupt. And by the time in Noah's day, in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, it records that God's observation was that He saw men's wickedness and it was great on the earth. And every intent and thought was on their heart and on evil continually. How much different is it today? I wonder, as Moses was out there one day and he had made him a stack of lumber, was preaching, took time to preach that evening, and about getting saved and accepting God and coming to the ark. I wonder about those that walk by smirkingly saying, "Hey, let's go by and rob Aunt Sally tonight." Perhaps one of them looked at the other one and said, "I think I'll go get a sex change tomorrow." Perhaps a couple more said, "Well, I'll be frank with you if you'll be frank with me tomorrow." Another one says, "I think I'll go down to Planned Parenthood tomorrow and take care of a little bit of fun that I had last night." You think it's any different back then than it was today? Because of this, God said, "I'm sorry that I have created mankind. For the end of the flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and I will destroy them from off the earth." Listen to me carefully this morning, church. God's grievance was not sorrow, because God did not make a mistake. Hello? God doesn't make mistakes. Don't forget that. God gave His creation freedom to choose between right and wrong. But in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 29 says, "Yea, they failed miserably, and it grieved God's heart to see how far humanity had fallen from God's original intent." See, it's not God's desire that any sin. But it's God's desire for you and I to live with the blood of Jesus Christ applied to our hearts, ready to get out of here and go to heaven. Matthew chapter 14, or excuse me, Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21, Jesus described that the world, what it would look like and what would happen before He comes back after His church. He refers it to the days of Noah and what was going on, and He describes the conditions of what it was looking like in our day just prior to the rapture of the church. Jesus' point was that the people would be unaware of His return to judge mankind for their sin. And it's so sad that the vast majority of our world's inhabitants will be living ungodly lives in a world filled with violence when He returns in the clouds of glory for this monumental event that is called the rapture, the catching away of the church. Listen, I'm preaching this message to you today to let you know you don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss it. You need to be keenly aware of what's going on and what's happening. Jesus said the signs of the end of this age will be like it was when the days of Noah built the ark. And there would be lawlessness that would be abound everywhere. And the gospel of the kingdom would be preached, and yet no one would listen. No one would listen. I think that's another key that we really need to observe here. 75 to 120 years, whatever it was, but at least 75 years that Noah preached and built the ark, not one convert. Not one convert. He said there would be lawlessness. There would abound everywhere. You know, this place ought to be exploding today with excitement that you have a preacher that wants to preach to you that you don't want to miss it. Amen. Amen. You don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss it. Well, Pastor, God's not going to do that. Listen, He judged the angels that rejected Him. Israel went to bondage in Egypt and was slaves in Egypt simply because they refused to obey Him. He give them every opportunity, just as He has given us every opportunity. And I believe with all my heart that the reason that we're in 2022 is because God has given us a space of time to repent. His righteousness is crying out to a world, "Don't be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." There was lawlessness that abound everywhere. The gospel of the kingdom would be preached, yet no one was listening. Jerusalem would be surrounded by their enemies, and the love of many would wax cold. Does anybody sound familiar to anything that we're experiencing today with that? I'm also reminded that as Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives looking over Jerusalem, He cried with everything within His heart, within His soul, His spirit, "Oh Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who would kill the prophets and stone those that sent you. How often have I longed to gather you together as children, as a hen would gather her chicks under her wings, but you would not." He said, "Look, your house is left desolate." Listen, I don't care how righteous you think you are today. When you stand before the righteousness of God, it's nothing but filthy rags. And I'm here to tell you today that it's not hard to serve God. The Bible says, though, a wayfaring man, their ways are hard. A ways of a sinner is hard, but the ways of the righteous, though we may have problems, though we may have troubles, though we may have circumstance, we got a high tower, we got Jesus that we can run to. We can run to Him, and He'll hide us in His pavilion. He'll spread His arms around us and comfort us. I have never in my thinking or lifetime, especially it seems like in these last few weeks, few months, last few days, I have noted on the news of someone in the family killing the whole family and themselves. or someone's on trial for killing their baby, or someone's on trial for shooting their brother or their dad. I'm not talking about in Chicago. I'm not talking about in Fort Worth. I'm talking about in Fort Smith in Northwest Arkansas. Can I tell you something, church? We better wake up. We better pay attention. No matter how much we think we got it together, we better make sure we got it together. And I'm here to tell you today, if you really love Jesus Christ with all of your heart, you're going to be doing exactly what He said, not what you feel like doing. And the Lord said in Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, "My spirit will not always strive with man. For this he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years." He had that time span where men was able to repent. They could have had reservations for the ark. They could have had a seat on the ark, but they chose to turn a deaf ear. Listen again, and I'm repeating myself a little bit, then I'll move on. But the best I can figure, God gave this generation somewhere between 75 and 120 years to repent and turn back to God. And during that time, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20, that Noah preached a warning message, and God waited patiently for a heartfelt reform. I wonder what his heart is like in heaven today. Listen, us Pentecostal folks has come a long ways, and it ain't all been good. I said, we've come a long ways and they ain't all been good. It's time that we took some deep soul-searching inventory. God waited patiently for heartfelt reform. Listen, this thing's got to be heartfelt. Hello? Unfortunately, the people never responded. Basically, they just flat didn't care. They continued to live their lives the way that pleased them. They ignored God's message. Listen, the longer, I didn't copy this out of a book. It's what God spoke to me about 2-3 weeks ago. The longer they persisted and the more unsound they become in their reasoning, because their hearts got harder. And as their hearts got harder, it became even more difficult for them to change. Stop to think about it for a moment. 75 years, and Noah did not see one convert. That should shake us to the core, church. Because I'm telling you, just as sure as God shut the door on the ark, just as sure as he rained fire and brimstone down on Sodom and Gomorrah, just that sure, tribulation is going to hit this earth like you ain't ever seen, and you do not want to be here. I fear, even church folks, we have become so callous, so hard, so self-centered, so preoccupied, and so entitled that it's hard for us to hear what God's saying today. Because we want to do it our way. We want to do it our way. Frank Sinatra wrote, sung that song, kind of made him famous, "And I Did It My Way." Wonder how that's working out for him. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. "And although," listen to what Romans said in verse 21. "God, help us to understand that we are living in the days of Noah and Sodom and Gomorrah." Verse 21, Romans chapter 1. "For although they knew God," hey, I'm telling you, he's speaking to the church right here. "Although they knew God, they neither glorified God as God nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for the image made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles." I'm going to come tell you today, that we do not portray the vile sinners of the world in what this what I just read to you talks about. But I believe with all of my heart that we have gotten to a place in the church of the living God, in the Pentecostal ranks, that we have got it made and we've got it going our way when we are so far from the truth of what God desires for us and has for us. I just come by to tell you today that all the rainbows that are flying from one end of town to the other and from across our nation and across our state, that rainbow represents God's deliverance to a people that He had never wiped them out again. And God's rainbow will always be His sign to a people that He judged them, but He also will redeem them. Listen, somebody ought to be shouting here today. I said it's God's sign. The rainbow is His sign that He brought judgment, but He also has given a promise that I have come to deliver you. I'm here to tell you, Satan has tried to mock God and everything that God's done. He's tried to steal God's promise. He's tried to steal God's sign. He's tried to do everything he can to bring God down to where we're living. But I'm here to tell you, God's still on the throne. It's still His. The rainbow is still in the sky. Let somebody replicate what God put in the sky when it rains. We are living in an hour and a time to where most of us has never seen anything like it, if anybody has ever seen anything like it. We live in a new age world where everything of essence is supposed to be God. And I'm here to tell you, God will judge. Can I tell you today, just because everybody else refuses to acknowledge who God is, just because they choose to do it their way, living in an evil society that refuses to repent, just as we are today, as it was back then, can I tell you, Noah alone found favor with God and as a righteous person. And Hebrews 11:7 tells us that Noah was moved with godly fear and built an ark for the saving of his household. I'm here to tell you there needs to be some Pentecostal people that needs to begin to be moved with fear and begin to prepare their house for the saving of their family and the saving of their household and the saving of their neighborhood. Listen, God's looking for somebody to be moved with fear and rise to the occasion in this last hour and say, yes, God, I will. Recognizing and obeying and acting on God's word will be the only thing that gets you out of this world alive. Can I say that again? Recognizing and obeying God and acting on God's word is the only thing that's going to get you out of this world alive. Widespread violence is in our world today, as it was in Noah's time. God decided in all of His wisdom to eliminate that population and to repopulate the earth with a faithful man and his descendants. Listen, that was in God's judgment. We serve a God that is all-knowing and all-caring and all-loving. But in His wise judgments, this is exactly why it's hard for some of us to understand when the children of Israel went into the countries that God had promised them. He told them to destroy everything. Achan found some gold and silver and found some pretty suits of clothes that he decided he could wear to graduation or the festival. But God said to destroy it all. You know why? Because there was a spirit about those people and a spirit about those things that was stronger than what they were and pulled them down and brought them to a place of destruction. That's why it's so imperative, church. It's so imperative that you know what you're doing and you know what your kid's doing. That you look into the Word of God and you measure your life according to the Word of God, not what you think people ought to judge you by. Amen. Hey, I before this morning's over, I may just preach to you just a little bit. I'm burdened in my heart, but I want to tell you, that there's a victorious day coming. I said, there's a victorious day coming, and I want you to be a part of it. Listen, you can do what you want to, but as far as me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You can rest assured that God is just. And just as sure as He judged Noah's generation, He will judge this generation. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 7 says, God is not mocked, and whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. There's war and conflict has increased across our globe for the last 100 years with violence seemingly to be the commonplace. Not only in the streets of foreign country, but now at home, it seems that everybody has a view of their own rights and nobody else matters. The sad part is that we live in a society where our government is not only encouraging it, and they're condoning it in strategic places to create havoc and chaos. It was in Noah's day. The Bible says that men's heart was on evil continually, and their thoughts was conjuring up all kinds of evil every minute of their day. I have to ask you today, church, so we shake ourselves and look around, is it very much different today than what the Bible describes as Noah and Lot's day? I think not. Matthew 15 and 19 says, for out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulterers, fornication, thefts, thieves, false witnesses, and blasphemy. We live in a society of relativism. Somebody can say that better than me, but you know what I mean. That's the culture we're living in today of relativism. True and false is based on how you feel. Culture says there's nothing absolute. There's no absolute truths. You do what's right for you, and I'll do what's right for me. It's all relativism. But I'm here to tell you, God's Word says there's right and there's wrong. There's black and there's white. Yes, sir, and amen. There's been... Nobody's in any hurry, are you? I mean, you've missed the last two Sunday nights, so surely you can spare me a little more time. I'm serious about what I'm preaching to you today and the relevance of where we are. There's more that we've got to feel. There's a greater commitment that we've got to realize we got to make. There's been a lot of research in our Western culture that has demonstrated the correlation between media violence and our youth exhibiting that violent behavior in our society. Studies show that in the United States, a typical child will view more than 200,000 acts of violence, including 16,000 murders on television before they're at the age of 18. And we wonder why we're in a mess. It is noted that television programs display 812 violent acts per hour. And there is a recent study that's found that 15% of music videos contain in them personal violence, while another modern source of violence that has exposed our children to the access to the internet and video games. You better be paying attention, moms and dads. Can I tell you that in our world, in our society, in our culture in which we live right now, the only safe place for a child to explore is in the surroundings which you create. Did you hear me? Did you hear me? The only safe place for a child to explore the hour in which we live is the surroundings in which you, as moms and dads, underneath the fear of God, create for our children. The only safe haven for our children and for them to get a Christian influence is that you and I create that culture around them. Hello? I understand and realize that for most folks, public education is their only choice. That's why it's so vitally important, moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, for the church, we must play a vital part in instilling within them God's Word and God's ways. You need to be making sure what your kids see in school, what they are taught in school, and what they have access into their library. You need to make sure. That it falls underneath the guidelines of what God has approved.
That's right.
Hey, I like that. I didn't have that wrote down. I said, you better make sure that what they're viewing and what they have privy to needs to fall under what God has approved.
Right.
As the violence of our culture increases, God's message becomes more and more fitting for our culture. Yet, we see it's less accepted than anything else. Listen to what Hosea said. Do we need to take a bathroom break? Because I ain't through yet. I'm telling you, it's burning on my heart. You got to listen to me, church. When the rapture takes place and you don't hear what I've got to say today, don't come banging on my door, because I ain't going to open it, because I ain't going to be on the inside anyway.
Right.
And I'm here to tell you, if you miss the rapture of the church, you better get here to church early, because it's going to be packed.
Yeah.
Amen. This is what Hosea said a long, long time ago. He's one of those minor prophets that probably didn't know what he's talking about anyway. Huh? I believe he heard from God. Chapter 4, verse number 1, he said, hear the word of the Lord, O you children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of this land, because there is no truth. Listen, if God had a controversy or had a myth with his children Israel, that was his only people, that was his people, how much more is he going to have a problem with you and I that are not following his word? He said, I've got a controversy. I've got a problem with the inhabitants of this land, because there is no truth. There is no mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. My. There is no knowledge in the land. We've got young people that can quote all the movies. They know what everything is on Netflix. They know what all the sports and what all the memorabilia is. But they don't know what the Bible says about anything. They can't quote the scriptures. They don't have a clue who Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is. Listen, we're in deep, deep trouble, church. I told you at the beginning of this message, it was because of Noah's righteousness that even his 8 family members was saved. Hello? It was Noah's righteousness that his eight member of his families was saved. Therefore, it is imperative that we recognize our responsibilities, Dad, and we go to God and we make sure that the righteousness of our house fits the criteria of God Almighty, and that we're bringing our family into the ark of safety. He said, because there's no truth, there's no mercy, there's no knowledge of God in the land. That ought to scare you to death. Being in the culture that we're in, when Hosea said there is no knowledge of God in the land. Verse number 2, by swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood touches blood. In other words, what the prophet was saying, that people is killing and it is so happening so much that one man's blood that is killed is spilled over and running into another man's blood, because it just continues. There's no regard for life. Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish, with the beast of the field, with the fowl of the heaven, yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. Genesis 9 and 6 says, "Whosoever sheddeth man's blood, by man's blood his blood be shed. For the image of God made he man." Israel becomes slave to Egypt because they did their own thing. If man had followed God and God's instruction with the respect of life from the very beginning up until now, the sanctity of human life would have been upheld in the Supreme Court. But just as Noah's day, the day in which we live, has been inundated with a culture that flagrantly disregards human life, and it is demonstrated by unrestrained anger, disrespect to others, and abortion that are killing our babies by the thousand, and we can't forget about the wars that's killing people, even our own government killing its citizens, and that's called genocide. I won't go there right now. But it's so sad that we see that history has a tendency to repeat itself. Yes, yes. In Noah's day, God saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and there was ever intent in his thoughts and in his heart was on evil continually. Many times we don't realize it, but when we neglect God's mercy and his call to repent, our hearts become more and more hardened. But because of our stubbornness and our unrepented heart, Romans chapter 2 verses 5 and 6, because of our stubbornness and our unrepented hearts, you're storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's judgment, when his righteous judgment will be revealed. God will give to each person according to what he has done. Listen, I'm almost through, I think. So bear with me for just a few more minutes. Listen, you're required what you hear. I'm required what I say. So help me out, okay? The first time God brought his judgment on the earth was by the flood, great flood of water. The next time God punished the whole earth, it will be by his return and anger with fury and his rebuke with a flame of fire. You can find that in Isaiah chapter 66, speaking of such. Verse 14, he said, "When I see this, your hearts will rejoice and you will flourish like the grass. The hand of the Lord will be made known to his servants, but his fury will be slow to his foes. See, the Lord is coming with fire, and his chariots are like whirlwinds, and he will bring down the anger with fury and his rebuke with the flames of fire. For the fire with his sword, the Lord will execute judgment upon men, and many will be those slain by the Lord." Although Noah preached and preached and preached, and though we have heard message after message, and the scripture has been given out, God has warned his creation that he was coming back. He has laid out exactly what he requires and what he expects. Just like the people in Noah's day, people have ignored and rejected the warning of the message. They have failed to see the signs that are all around us pointing to Christ's return and his judgment. I don't know about you, but he put that rainbow in the sky for a covenant, not only for warning, but for salvation. And he will do what he says he's going to do. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1-3. "Now, brethren, about the time and the dates, we do not need to write about. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. While people are saying, peace and safety and destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape." How many of us have heard, we're starting on third year, basically, of this stuff, right? How many of you have heard people say, "Man, I just want to get back to normal"? How many have heard people say, "I am so sick and tired of this. I am just so sick and tired of all this that's happening"? Listen, if you stay here after the rapture takes place, it's going to be a walk through the park. It's going to be a piece of cake. And I'm here to tell you, in all this stuff that we're going through, God's getting His people ready. Don't shun and be better. Bitter, get better. Hello? Okay, I'm almost through. Chris, go ahead and come to the piano. You can come in. Peace and safety. I've heard, man, I just wished I had some security. There's no doubt that Noah was mocked and ridiculed. For all those years, Noah tried to get people's attention. The Bible reveals in the end time, prior to Christ's return, people in this age will also ignore God's warnings. 2 Peter tells of the scoffers that will come in the last days. And I think that what worries or concerns me the most is I fear that church folks have been pulled in by the spirit of neglect. They have become numb to the obvious. And it wasn't there in Noah's days. But what I read tells me that that this spirit that was in Noah's days has come over into the culture of our day. It has swept the church world, and we have seen a series of normalization of folks in a world's culture that we have become more of fitting in with the world than we are with God's people. Spirit has swept into the church, and we have become normalized with the world's culture. And that world's culture has distanced itself from God's eternal plan. And so that culture has distanced itself from God's eternal plan. We have justified ourselves. We don't have to come to church except once in a while. It's more vital than ever before. This is the culturalized church world that we're living in. Church, we need revival. We need revival. I'm talking about a real revival that restores us to a place to where we once again regain a true consciousness of God. Did you hear me? I'm talking about a revival. We're not just waiting for evangelists to come by so we can reap the loaves and the fishes. Huh? I'm talking about a revival that brings about a consciousness for God, that we're hungry and we desire Him. Did you know revival simply means repentance? That we look for it for a time to where we get the loaves and the fishes. But hey, I'm here to tell you that God will bring the loaves and the fishes if He gets a group of people that will begin to repent and begin to seek God with a godly fear and look for the consciousness of God to revive them in their hearts and lives. I believe when people come under deep conviction, we don't even like to use that word no more. People come underneath a deep conviction and cry out to God, repentance and confession for their sins, we will see revival. Let me tell you what a revival looks like. How many wants me to tell you what a revival looks like? That's four or five. That's good enough, I'll tell you anyway. A revival, what it looks like, is when the fear of God gets on people's lives and they have godly repentance, hello, and a deep conviction comes upon them. Hello, are you listening? And when that deep conviction comes upon them, they get up off from the altar and they go to their brother and their sister that they have ought against them. They fall on their shoulder and they repent and they cry and they ask for forgiveness and repentance. I'm telling you, church, that's the revival we need to see in America today. That's the revival we need to see at Trinity today. When you see a true repentance before God, you're going to see a rendering of a heart when they come together and we begin to fall upon each other's shoulder and we ask forgiveness. And we live alive and we walk alive, plan in God's Word. We need true revival, church. We need a heart change. The power of God through repentance and acknowledging Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior of our life. Church, this is our hope. I said, this is our hope. It's our only hope. Would you stand with me all over the building today?